Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
All right, guys, happy Tuesday. Question of the day today. Let's jump right into it. Why is everything so gay? It just feels like, look around, everything and everyone just feels so gay. I'm just kidding, guys. That's a really big question, and we don't have time to answer it. The real topic that I want to talk to you guys about today are individuals, women in particular, that I cannot be friends with. There is one attribute that they all share. And if I meet someone who is like this, I instantly don't want to be friends with them. And I also would caution men against dating or marrying this specific kind of woman. What am I talking about? Plus, later on in the show, they always say that conservatives are hysterical. We're not coming for your kids. The LGBTQIA plus community wants nothing to do with your kids. But also, we really hope you enjoy this new episode of Transformers, emphasis on the trans. Yep. All that and more today, coming up on Candace Owens. All right, so I need to get something off of my chest, something that I have been seeing a lot of lately. I am so fundamentally disturbed by women who seem to have rinsed themselves of their female nature. And what I'm talking about is this aspect of sociology that seems to have overridden biology. It really disturbs me deeply to my core. And I'm thinking about this topic for two reasons. First and foremost, a conversation that I had with a woman recently, it was my first time meeting her. We got to talking, she was in her mid-30s, and she was talking about undergoing, how she was in the process of undergoing egg retrieval, of having her eggs frozen by choice. There's no issues with her fertility. She just said in this way that I assume she thought was chic, oh, I just couldn't be bothered to have children right now. I just, oh, my career is just doing so wonderfully. And, you know, they can be such a burden. I think I'm just going to be like my mother. And when I'm 40 or 41, you know, I'll have one child. But, you know, for me, it's just not the kind of thing that's for me. And I was having this conversation with her, nodding and really saying the exact opposite, of course, how much children have enriched my life. And also what I said to her in earnest was, if you died tomorrow, no matter what your career is, they would replace you. That's how it works. Think about the most famous person that you know that died, even if they died in a huge way. I'll give you an example. Kobe Bryant. How horrific was that helicopter crash? But society moves on very quickly. But of course, his loved ones are still mourning him. I will guarantee you his wife and his children still cry when they think about Kobe Bryant and think about their father, think about their husband and all of the life that they didn't get to live with him because of his untimely death. But the world moves on. The world moves on from Michael Jackson. That's just how it works. So in reality, you really, no matter how engaged you are in your career, you're replaceable. You have to be replaceable in order for the business to survive. That's just one conversation. I also had another conversation with this young woman, remarkably wealthy in her early 30s. And this was regarding her decision, she already had one child, to undergo IVF to get what she wants. Now, let me make that clear. She had a biological child. She did not have trouble getting pregnant. But her first child was a son, and she decided that she wanted a daughter second. And because she was not from the United States, she said, so I'm going to find someone in the United States, undergo IVF, so I don't have to be pregnant, but also so that we can guarantee ourselves a little girl. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, the United States is the only country in the world where when you go under the IVF process, you can select boy or girl. I didn't know this. This was news to me. So now wealthy women are choosing to undergo this process in the United States because we allow for the choosing of the sex, which is ironic because also in the United States, we don't believe that sex and gender are real. Anyways, I don't want to get lost here. What I really want to say here is that when I hear women speak like this, they sound to me like droids. It is so instant. I know that I will never have a friendship with them. It's just there. I sense something in their spirit that has been corroded. I literally feel like I am speaking to a robot or a sociological experiment that has gone horribly wrong. I'm not saying that they're bad people per se, but something I feel has been removed from them. We're seeing this all around the world in society right now, by the way. Sociology is currently competing with biology. It begs the question, will ideology and sociology trump biology in the future? And I think the answer to that is absolutely not. I rest in comfort knowing that in the end, biology wins. As just one example, eunuchs cannot reproduce. So we have a bunch of people that are super worried about transgenderism. Yes, it's an ill, it's a cancer, and we should fight it. But it is not an ideology that can survive itself because, well, it can't reproduce. But I find this topic to be the most disturbing when it comes to women and their fertility. Hearing women talk about their fertility, hearing women talk about how they destroy their fertility so flippantly. How did we get here? What am I talking about? Well, when I was in college, you know, girls would say, oh, I'm going to just keep taking the pill because I don't want to get my period on this day. Or I'm going to take the morning after pill. I'm going to take two morning after pills to make sure that I'm not pregnant because I was sleeping with this guy. Never weighing how it might impact their fertility later on. And by the way, this isn't because these young women are monsters or were monsters. It's because that is how they are being bred. This is what I'm talking about when I say this component of sociology, much of which is taking place in the education system. I've spoken openly about me thanking God that even from the time that I was very young, I had a lot of questions about the birth control pill. I thought it was very weird that every time I went to the doctor, it was being offered to me no matter what I had. I'd say, man, doc, I have a bad case of the hiccups. He'd be like, birth control. I was like, what? Oh, I've got this pimple. Birth control will help with your acne. Really? How could this one pill just be a magic solve for everything with women? This is really, you get bad cramps, birth control will be able to solve that. I found it to be so weird that when the time came, I declined birth control because I just, you know what, in the name controlling birth, I don't really feel like ceding that control. And now when I hear horrific stories of women who want to have children, now that a lot of people in my circle are in their 30s and hearing their struggles with fertility, I wonder why. You know, could it be because we have become so dismissive of something that used to be so honored that even in pagan cultures, they created entire goddesses for it? Your fertility. To be barren used to be considered a curse. Now it appears that all around society, it's an aspiration. Oh gosh, I'm gonna deal with this child. I just couldn't possibly have this child. I have a wonderful career. Just where I'm at right now, it's not for me. There's something really dark and very twisted about it. And I know where this always ends up. People in the comments telling me, I'm a woman, I don't have any kids, and I'm perfectly happy. Great. Consider yourself the exception and not the rule. As I said, when I personally hear women talk like that, I feel that I am watching a social experiment that has gone horribly wrong. And I am hoping that by talking about this issue, we can begin to put the figurative genie back into the bottle. Because your fertility is a blessing. It's not a curse. It's not something that you need to get rid of. It's not something that you need to turn to doctors to deal with because, God forbid, your fertility is a blessing. And usually by the time that you recognize that, for many people, it can be too late. And that's all I'm going to say about that. President Trump recently issued a warning from his Mar-a-Lago home. Quote, our currency is crashing and will soon no longer be the world standard, which will be our greatest defeat, frankly, in 200 years. There are three reasons central banks are dumping the U.S. dollar: inflation, deficit spending, and our insurmountable national debt. The fact is, there is one asset that has withstood famine, wars, and political and economic upheaval dating back to biblical times, and that's gold. I bought gold from Birch Gold in preparation for uncertain economic times, and you can trust them, too. And you can own gold in a tax shelter retirement account with the help of Birch Gold. That's right. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or a 401k, maybe from a previous employer, into an IRA in gold. And the best part is you don't pay a penny out of pocket. When currencies fail, gold is a safe haven. How much more time does a dollar have? Protect your savings with gold, as I did. They can help you convert your IRA or your 401k into a tax sheltered IRA in precious metals. So text Candace to 989898 to claim your free info kit. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of happy customers, and countless five-star reviews, I trust Birch Gold to protect my future, and you can too. That's Candace to 989898. Okay, now it's time for some topics du jour. Couldn't conservatives are hysterical. What are you talking about? We're coming for your kids. We're not coming for your kids. They're lying. They're just saying that to scare people into voting for them. Yeah, they're using children. And it's absolutely not happening. They're just paranoid. They just hate gays and lesbians and trannies so much that they're making up this lie. We don't want access to the classrooms. We don't want access to the children. That's what they say, except we keep being proven right. Take, for example, this show reboot of Transformers Earthspark, which appeared on one of the many streaming platforms. This one is Paramount Plus, 18 episodes. And in its first season, this children's TV shows is introducing a non-binary robot character who is said to be neither male or female. And he describes that as a wonderful experience. Take a listen.
My pronouns are they, them.
Thanks. I'm Sam. I'm she, they, but you already know that.
Wow. What an amazing city.
I'm sorry for how I reacted. It's just, sometimes the world can be a scary place. It's hard to know who's dangerous or not.
That's true. Though disappointing.
Hey, it's okay. I know I'm safe when I'm with my friends or other non-binary people.
Non-binary?
People who aren't female or male. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have assumed.
I always knew my pronouns felt right, but what a wonderful word for a wonderful experience.
I mean, you can't even make this up. They should just go ahead and run this in all Republican ads. They should just use this. They should just run this in Republican ads. And so they're coming for your kids. And we're pulling this directly from a children's show. And what's really disturbing to me is to think about the adults that produced this, the adults that wrote the script, the adults that sat in the room, like the child predators that they are, and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to introduce children to the concept of non-binary, telling them that they can be whatever they want. We know this is a lie. We know that children's sex cannot be transformed. It cannot be changed. We're going to pollute them with these ideas anyways. Why? Who benefits from this? When I was watching shows when I was a kid, I was learning my colors. I was learning my numbers. Now even children's shows, children YouTube shows that are learning numbers and colors, they will introduce a non-binary person. What is the purpose of this? How can society all at once decide that they are going to train children and raise children up to believe in something that is so evil and so dangerous and does nothing but to harm and to confuse them? It's actually shocking to me that this is even legal, that they can put this on TV, that they can outwardly lie and try to make it ambitious. What are we supposed to feel? Sad for this robot and this person? Is it supposed to pull at your heartstrings and go, oh my God, what a brave robot, what a brave non-binary cartoon? Perhaps that's doing that for the children, but of course, it's angering parents, and rightfully so, but this is a society that we live into. So please do not believe that conservatives are being hysterical. We have been calling this for years. It is here, right? This is a true battle that we are facing for the minds of our own children. It is happening in the education system, but perhaps worse, it is happening in the pillar of culture, and culture holds the most influence. Watch this, observe this, and be very mindful. But you no longer live in a world where you can turn on a children's cartoon and walk out of the room. You can't do that anymore. You need to be conscious. You need to be aware of what they are saying to your child, what they are trying to sell to your child as cool. Because this is why you have little kids that come home one day and tell their parents that they decided that they were a different gender. Truly evil stuff. But again, not something that I am surprised to see whatsoever, because I've been reporting on this for years. Moving on, you guys. And speaking of Transformers, the real life ones, transgendered people who believe that it's just so easy to pick your gender, you're just going to get surgeries and everything's going to be totally fine. So there is, in fact, this trans influencer, so to speak. This person is on TikTok, which I described to you guys as being an online insane asylum. And Zaya was very excited about his future. He talked about how he was going to be one of the first men to become pregnant. Let's just hear Zaya in his own words, because he's so excited. I don't want to do him any injustice here. He's just brave and bold and futuristic. Take a listen.
Today, I want to tell y'all how I could be the world's first pregnant transgender woman. Now, am I actually going to be the first one? Who knows? But you're probably wondering, how can a transgender woman be pregnant? She doesn't have a uterus. Well, that's why you do a uterine transplant. So long story short, a donor uterus would be planted into me. It would be fertilized, a baby would be born, and then the uterus would be taken out so my body doesn't reject it. And this procedure has already been done on some cis women, meaning women who were born women and identify as women. And 16 of them have been successful and babies were born from donor uterus. Now, of course, the baby technically would not be my biological child unless I chose to fertilize the egg with my frozen man juice. And this should all be possible within like the next 10 to 20 years. So when I'm like 28 years old, I could get pregnant. I could be pregnant. Now, of course, it's never been done on a trans woman yet, but it just goes to show how crazy science is and anything is possible.
So exciting. Very, very exciting. Do you hear this? He's going to be one of a pregnant man. It's going to be very exciting. It's going to be very easy. It's so easy. When you put it on TikTok and you make it sound like that, it sounds very easy. It's the direction that science is going in. So what he's going to have is he's going to have a uterus implanted. It could be his baby if he freezes his sperm and maybe he saves it for later. And then he fertilizes the baby. And it's all so simple when it's on TikTok for views. And brave Zaya has decided to go forward with the procedure to remove his penis. And that was how it started. Here's how it's going. Take a listen.
New recovery was gonna be hard, but nobody tells you that it could be this hard. But yeah, I was diagnosed with vaginal stenosis. And if you don't know what that is, it's basically when scar tissue gets built up inside of the vaginal canal to the point where it's like extremely tight and uncomfortable. And the thing is, for the first year after getting bottom surgery, you have to dilate your vagina religiously because it's a brand new canal that needs to be kept open religiously for the first year. And now that I have this stenosis, I physically cannot dilate.
Wow, Zaya, I'm really sorry to hear that. Maybe part of the reason why you have to dilate your vagina religiously following that procedure is because it's not a vagina. And hearing you say, I knew it was going to be hard, but I didn't know it was going to be this hard. This is what I'm talking about when I say that sociology overriding biology disturbs me. Did somebody have to explain to Zaya that it was going to be real hard to chop off his dick? Did he actually need somebody to sit down and say that? Was that not just abundantly obvious? I mean, I'm not a man. I don't have a penis. But I would imagine that most men have some sort of an understanding that it wouldn't be very fun to chop off their dicks. I don't know. I just feel like that might be a thing that they're hardwired to understand, absent any books, absent any doctors or nurses explaining to them how that's going to feel. But not Zaya. Zaya's on TikTok, and everything's so easy on TikTok. It's going to be so great. I'm going to get a uterine. I'm going to get this. I'm going to have a baby. I'm going to be the first man. Oopsies. Actually, chopping off my dick, it actually didn't go so well. So now what's going to happen to Zaya? Well, if I had to make a prediction, if I had a crystal ball, I would probably say that maybe what we continue to wax poetic about as conservatives is the fact that depression rates increase following a quote-unquote transition, which is really just self-harm, right? You are having somebody that is turning themselves into a eunuch. They are removing their private parts. And then what tends to happen, unfortunately, is that suicide rates rise. They don't go down. So far from what they're telling you about, this could help you if you begin your journey of transition. As we know, and as the evidence backs up, these people are being harmed because they're being lied to because they have influencers that are making it sound so easy and making it sound so fun that it even overrides their basic biological understanding that chopping off your dick might hurt. Now, I'm trying to say this with compassion. I am trying to say this without laughing because it just seems so implausible that we've gotten to this part in this society, in American society, that we've gotten to this part where you have to explain this to people, that this might not be so easy when you start playing Frankenstein with your body parts, that even though you're getting millions of views and you're getting applause and told how stunning and how brave you are, that maybe reality might meet up with the social media experiment, and it's not going to be fun. You know, it's sad because what's really happened here is this person was raised wrong. Zaya was raised wrong by his parents. Zaya shouldn't have been allowed a phone or social media. Zaya was then encouraged by strangers on the internet. Zaya was then harmed by a doctor who should be in prison. I believe that if you are chopping off people's penises, you should probably be in prison and you should not be allowed to practice medicine at all. And unfortunately, Zaya is never going to be able to get his dick back. That's all I'm going to say on that topic. All right, guys, we are talking about self-harm. We are talking about TikTok. We are talking about the insane asylum of the online world, which takes place on TikTok. Got to show you this video. I was shocked. You guys know I am not personally on TikTok. And someone told me that this is one of thousands of videos, that this is a culture on TikTok. So let's watch this young woman describe what she eats in a day. Take a listen.
Hi guys, welcome back to another What I Eat in a Day. Remember, I'm fat and I don't eat healthy. Y'all remember that intro when you're watching the rest of this video, because I ate nothing but fast food today and none of it was healthy. Anyways, today for breakfast I got McDonald's. I ordered the big breakfast with hotcakes. Y'all already know if we're having a hash brown, we're covering it in picante sauce. Don't get me wrong, I love my sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle, but this big breakfast slapped my big. For a little midday snack, I had some of this Dutch chocolate ice cream and I put it inside of a waffle cone. Sorry if my tongue looks a little weird. There's a lot of scar tissue from my tongue piercing. Today for lunch, I had a turkey and cheddar Lunchable and I also had some baked hot Cheetos with lime. I know I said this was lunch, but it did not fill me up. So for lunch part two, I had some Whataburger. I got the Buffalo Ranch chicken strip sandwich with some fries. Y'all already know we're gonna dip everything in that ranch. Aside from Chili's, Wingstop, and Chick-fil-A, I feel that Whataburger has the best packaged ranch. Anyways, it's finally dinner time. Today for dinner, I got Bill Miller's. I got the chicken tenders and fries with a side of the brisket macaroni and cheese. And of course, we're going to dip everything in that ranch. That's enough about me. What did you eat today? Bye.
I mean, this is just unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable to me. Here's my question. I don't know how TikTok works. Are you allowed to slit your wrists on TikTok? Are you allowed to cut yourself on TikTok? Because if people are allowed to harm themselves in this way, if you're allowed to garner a following by talking about how much you eat, obviously destroying your health on your path to clinical obesity. I mean, this girl, she keeps eating like this. She is going to be a part of the thousands and thousands of Americans that die every year from clinical obesity. It is the number one killer in this country, right? Why is this allowed on TikTok? Why is this trending? Why is, I don't eat healthy, here's what I eat. I have not, on my worst, most hungover college day, ever been able to eat like that. The amount of calories that I just watched that girl put in her mouth excitedly, because she knows she's getting views and she's getting clicks, to disturb people. But again, we're talking about that sociological override of your biology, because I know what's happening to her. Okay, she sounds really happy. I don't eat healthy. Okay, bye. Tell me what you weigh. I'm dipping in a ranch, like whatever, bye. But deep down, this girl is miserable. Do you want to know how I know? Because when I eat like that, like I said, on my worst, most hungover day in college, if I ate six slices of greasy pizza, an entire quarter pounder, you feel like crap. You feel like absolute crap. The next day, you want to go for a run. You want to eat clean because your body is screaming at you to say, this is not health. This is not what I need to sustain myself. You feel this immediate guilt. So she's doing this for clicks and she's doing this for views and she's getting them. But this is a girl that is suffering. She is destroying herself. The only high of her day, other than the high that she is getting from eating absolute junk food followed by an extreme low, is watching the rates of the likes go up. This is, again, a girl that is in tremendous suffering. And for what? For TikTok. This is the new society that we live in. We have people that then will see that and say, that's really cool. I wonder how many calories I can eat in one day and also get likes because it's so cool to be unhealthy. I don't eat healthy. So watch me eat these flaming hot Cheetos for lunch, but that wasn't enough. So watch me go to Whataburger and dip this into ranch sauce, but that wasn't enough. So watch me start with this McDonald's breakfast and tell you how good I love a McGriddle, but this tastes so good. This is everything that is wrong in our society when pop culture, popular culture, starts to be self-harm. That's what's taking place in America. Self-harm is now pop culture. How can you harm yourself? Do you want to put your body out on display like a prostitute for money? Great, do it. We will give you likes and we will give you views and we will give you cash. Do you want to eat and eat and eat until you are in a firm depression and on a path of clinical obesity? Great, we will give you clicks, we will give you views. Do you want to chop your dick off and clap your hands and talk about how you are going to get a uterine transplant, great, we will give you views. It's a really, really, really dark place to be in America, and it's so important that we learn from these people and that we continue to discuss them. All right, guys, very excited about this next topic. Obviously, I've received so many emails about A Shot in the Dark, and I kept telling you that it was coming to Daily Wire Plus. Finally, it is here. Now, we are putting, if you guys are not familiar with A Shot in the Dark, it is something that I did all by myself. It was just me and my assistant with the support of my husband and a friend. I shot it in my house because as a first-time parent and someone that was not feeling comfortable with the vaccine schedule for children, I did a ton of research for myself for years. And ultimately, I've been very open about the fact that I chose not to vaccinate my children. But I wanted to be able to share why that was, because I think we are finally in a society where people are open to that conversation following COVID and realizing how much Big Pharma, I guess, lies to us outright sometimes, changes the facts, changes the definitions. So we have been filming episodes here of Daily Wire. Again, it is going to live on Daily Wire Plus, but the first three episodes are going to be available for free on YouTube. You guys, if you are watching this on YouTube right now and you check the description, we will have a link to that. It's actually on my other YouTube page that we are putting these three episodes up. I'm so excited. I'm going to show you guys a quick clip of it right now. So take a listen. Something that was weird is that as my circles became wealthier, I was suddenly being exposed to more people that didn't vaccinate their children. That instantly registered to me as weird. And I'm talking about, I could name for you celebrities that do not vaccinate their children. Very wealthy, well-known celebrities who choose not to vaccinate their children. So just an instant question that I think I started asking myself is, why? If these are life-saving vaccines and people are going to die without them, why would somebody who has more education and more access to resources choose to opt out of this? Doesn't make sense. So that's just a simple gut instinct question that I started to ask myself. So that's a really small snippet. Obviously, I'm telling you what I went through personally. And by the way, that does line up with the facts. It is people that are wealthier and people that are more educated that tend not to vaccinate their children. Far be it from the cultural description of it as uneducated rednecks that don't vax their children. And it led me down a journey of research. I present that research to you in that first episode. I talk about my own Gardasil vaccine injury and the journey that I have been on since, just for truth. So I can make decisions not out of duress, not out of fear, but because I am knowledgeable about a certain topic and I am not fearful of asking doctors questions. So again, reminding you guys that the first three episodes of A Shot in the Dark are free. They are on my personal YouTube. The username is @RealCandiceO. The link is in the bio. Also, you can follow our Instagram page for resources. That is @ShotInTheDarkDW+. Again, @ShotInTheDarkDW+. If you want to follow and learn more about my journey, we're going to go through every shot on the childhood vaccination list. And I'm going to simply tell you the history, the facts, the numbers. I go over the Gardasil one, when it was presented, how many people were dying of cervical cancer in that first episode. And if nothing else, you will walk away more educated and more sure of questions that you want to ask your doctor, even if you ultimately decide something else for your children. All right, guys, it's time to get into some of your comments. First set of comments are pertaining to Jazz Jennings. We followed the Jazz Jennings story. I spoke about him recently on my show, his entire journey. Obviously, Jazz Jennings was a little boy. He is now a young man. And yet we watched him on TLC believe that he can transform himself. And yet after all of these procedures, he still says that he is not happy. Well, he did a response video trying to convince us that he is happy and that he is sure about everything, that his lived experiences, and he is sure that his parents did the right thing. It's a bunch of baloney. Part of it was him saying, I don't know why you guys care so much. Well, LLAP writes, we care so much, Jazz, because your community is constantly in our faces and trying to change the way we, in the majority, think, behave, talk, et cetera, et cetera. If the trans community would be responsible and respectful, maybe it would be given that respect back. Fair point. Trash Kiff LA writes, if my mom embraced all the things I wanted to be between the ages of 5 to 18, I'd probably be dead by now. And that really is the most crucial point. Kids are so nonsensical. I have a 2-year-old that is running around every thought and idea that he has. If I ever said it is all real and your imagination, everything that you think in your head, I am going to affirm and confirm, I would say lock me up. truly and utterly lock me up. We are called adults because we have rational thinking minds and we have experiences and we know what is true. We can separate fact from fiction. It's scary when we live in a world where adults can no longer do that and they are trying to assign meaning to what children are saying. Moving on, you guys are really liking taking a break from politics. I've been doing Front Stage, being obviously very tongue-in-cheek, trolling the guys here at Daily Wire with Brett Cooper. And we're talking about a variety of non-political topics, fun cultural stuff, because that's a part of me too. And I don't always want to talk about the terrible things that are going on in this world. Well, one of the topics that we covered was who is Khloe Kardashian's dad. And WSV writes, Kris admitted to having an affair with her hairdresser, Alex Roldan. Khloe looks almost identical to him if you look at their picture together side by side, and Khloe's middle name is Alexandra. Coincidence? I've heard this theory. I am still convinced. Go back and look at the pictures of her when she's a young child. That is a half black girl. It is that Kris and that hairdresser would not have produced a girl that skin color. And I didn't save us on the show, but the most telling part that she is also part black is that her daughter looks so black. Her daughter, okay, is darker, and now her son, darker than my children, which makes entirely no sense. I'm 100% black. If she was with a black guy, she would have a child that looks somewhere on the spectrum near my children. That child, True Thompson, is 75% black, okay? That girl is one, I'm telling you, I don't know who her black father is, but I can also tell by the nose. This is why black girls do not get nose jobs, because it looks weird because you have like a wider set nose, and they all get that Michael Jackson look, which is what Khloe Kardashian has, because black girls ain't supposed to get nose jobs. How's that for a little education, guys? That's all the time that we have for today. Reminding you again that A Shot in the Dark is now available on Daily Wire Plus. So go ahead and click the link in the description and subscribe right now. And be sure to come back tomorrow because, as usual, there'll be a brand new episode. I'll see you then.
Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.